This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
It's time for our Monday serial, a respectable veneer written by Rachel Doré, published by Upstart Press and narrated by Romy Hooper. This serial has been made possible by funding from the Earl Creativity and Development Trust with collaboration from Manawatu People's Radio. A Respectable Veneer is a story about love and courage, but we remind you of our regular content warning. There are elements of violence and references to child abuse. We left Douglas reeling after Ruby made a proposal. Will her proposition be the answer to all of their problems?
Douglas scratched the back of his head and looked at her. "Struth, Ruby. I hardly know what to think. God knows what Frank'll make of it.
Talk to him.
We could simply see how it pans out, with you as housekeeper.
People might see immorality in that," she jibed. "People will think I've moved in with Frank to live in sin. Not exactly respectable."
"That's not the worst."
Douglas's tone was grave.
"A woman living in sin isn't going to be sent to prison for it."
"No, I'm sorry. She shouldn't make light of it. Theirs was a horrible situation. Hiding love away like something filthy. Staying apart or risking everything."
"But you're not just thinking of Frank and me, are you?"
Douglas turned his head away from her.
"As you said, you want stability."
"For Edie."
"I could tell, you know, the night I met you. You had a hunted sort of look. It reminded me of someone I once saw among the refugees we used to see. Over there."
Ruby's scalp tingled with shame. If she spoke now, her voice would crack. Whether he was conscious of it or not, he'd seen her vulnerability, and she became his mark. Was his first attentive friendship an examination of her suitability? If so, could she be blamed if she did make the most of it? "So what if you're right?" she managed to say. "But nevertheless, you confided in me, and I saw for myself how you and Frank are. I know perfectly well the danger you're in. The secrecy alone must be killing you. How long can you go on being that miserable?" Douglas put an arm round her shoulder, as though she were a pal, and drew her close. She leaned into him. The knob of the gear lever dug into her rib.
"I'll put it to Frank."
He gave her shoulder a squeeze and released her. She straightened. "Will you?"
"What about Edie?" Douglas said. "What will she make of you suddenly marrying me?"
"I have to think about that." The Venetian blinds twitched in the front room of the Edwards house. Janice was watching. "I haven't thought about how I'll explain it," Ruby said, putting one foot on the curb. "Let's see what Frank has to say first."
"Give me a bit of time to bring it up."
"I'd better get in," said Ruby, "or people will think we're canoodling."
"He's a fresh dish, isn't he?"
Janice nudged her.
"I saw him trying it on."
"Don't be silly, he's a friend, that's all," said Ruby, looking around the mess Janice had made in the kitchen.
"Friend? I saw you making cow eyes at him over the fish and chips. You've got it bad. He must be a bit dim if he can't see that for himself."
Ruby simply smiled. Cow eyes? Someone like Janice would never understand. It wasn't love she wanted. Not from a man. Companionship is what she longed for. And Douglas was taken.
Oh, you know how some chaps are, she said. The best of them are a bit dim. Where's Edie? Teasing Poppy with a piece of string in the bedroom, said Janice. We've had such fun. She's had her bath. Gosh, she is an odd one. She asked me if I knew how to cook a rabbit. Shall we have cocoa? Yes, please. I've got news. Edie came in, wrapped in Janice's dressing gown, the cat snatching at the tie trailing on the floor behind her. It's all right, said Janice. She said her nightgown was still in the wash. She'll be all right wearing her singlet to bed, won't she? Ruby gave an approving nod to Edie with a tight smile. Her daughter could hardly be admonished for lying. One day they'd both have nighties and dressing gowns. One day they won't have to tell lies. So, what's your news? Janice's eyes were bright with the readiness to be happy. What an innocent she was. So nearly lovable.
Mum, are we going to be allowed to live at Frank's or not?
Edie clamped her palms together.
Say we are.
Yes. Edie shrieked.
Oh, I am pleased for you, said Janice.
Have we got anything to celebrate with?
When are we going?
Said Edie, locking Ruby in an embrace. Frank says we can go whenever we want, but... She winked at Janice with mischief. But I don't know.
Oh, Mum, you have to know, cried Edie, or I'll be worrying about it the whole time I'm asleep.
Ruby kissed the top of Edie's head. We're moving to Frank's next Saturday. Edie gave a squeal and then frowned.
Hang on. Why not this Saturday?
There's work and things to arrange first. Janice came from the kitchen, opening a tin of biscuits.
Cameo creams for celebrating.
What's the house like? Seems huge, said Ruby. A big, wide bungalow. Bay windows. A sitting room. Frank calls it the parlour. And a big dining room. Each with a fireplace.
Parlour, said Janice. Is he terribly old then?
Oh, it's not all dark and gloomy wood everywhere, is it? That sort of place gives me the creeps. In spite of a surge of lightness that might be happiness, Ruby tried to quell her excitement. It's got a kind of warm feeling. She couldn't help it. She began to babble. It's huge. It's got four bedrooms. One's a double bedroom. I didn't see that. And there are two rooms with twin beds. One is Frank's. The other, the one I want's got flowery lilac wallpaper. Bit old-fashioned, but lovely. And it's got a sort of sunroom attached. There's a small single room off to the side as well. Edie swallowed her bite of biscuit.
Can I have a whole room to myself?
We'll see, said Ruby. I like the sunroom. Frank's mother used it as a sewing room. Her machine's still there, with her scissors and her dressmaker's mannequin and everything. And a lot of material. It's all just as the old lady left it.
A mannequin? With his mother's own shape in that?
Janice's eyes bulged.
Oh, that is too eerie.
This might be awful, but what sort of shape was she?
A little larger than you.
Bosomy.
Like Mum or Beryl, then. Oh, I wonder how she died. Not in the house, I hope.
Ruby made a face, warning her not to continue that line in front of Edie. She didn't. Edie split another biscuit and licked the cream in the middle.
I've changed my mind. I don't want to be in a room by myself, she said. It might be strange.
You and I can sleep in the twin bedroom to start with, said Ruby. The one with the sewing room.
I hope you're going to do some sewing, said Janice.
It'd be a shame not to. You're so clever. We'll see. Sewing was a necessity. Just because she was good at it didn't mean she liked it.
Mum, are you going to make me a new frock?
Edie said.
What about pyjamas?
We'll see. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's time you went to bed. When Edie had gone, Ruby lowered her voice. Janice, would you drive me round to Frank's neighbour's place after work one day next week? Janice wiped biscuit off the corner of her mouth.
Why not tomorrow?
Ruby shook her head. The thing is, on Saturday or Sunday, I don't know exactly when, Douglas might be round at Frank's, and I'd rather he didn't know. It's the lady next door. Mrs. What's-her-name? Janice laughed.
She's never called that.
Mrs. Something. Vi. It's all a bit tricky. I just want a private word with her. She's been looking after Frank, and now, let's just say I have to try to be diplomatic.
Why not just stay on with me?
Janice said. Ruby leaned her chin on her hand. The room at Arcadia had been paid for up to Friday. Might as well resign herself to the loss of that money. Besides, thinking of Edie sleeping in the Edwards spare room and the chance to spend more time with Janice made up for it. Douglas must be mad to go on staying there. Still, she understood why. Edie might want a chance to bid Pim goodbye. No. Edie had had enough wrenches already. No. Janice gave a childlike shriek of delight and declared it was an occasion for celebrating with another cocoa. If she said anything else, Ruby wasn't listening. As she sipped her cocoa, Ruby made up her mind to return the key to Mrs. Thompson on their way past tomorrow and pick up the rest of their things. Then they'd turn their backs on Arcadia House for good. According to the big, white-faced clock in the heavy, dark frame above the headmaster's door, it was 9:12. Ruby drummed her fingers on her purse. Madam had told her to start work at morning tea time, but the earlier she got there, the less she'd have docked off her wages. Across the foyer, a young girl sat shyly leaning against her mother. Now and then she put her thumb in her mouth, unable to quit the habit. They were waiting for the headmaster too. The woman's hat was cheap and not fashionable, but she wore it well. Ruby smiled. The woman turned away. The girl was nicely turned out, neatly parted hair, held in place with a white ribbon, a yellow cardigan knitted in cable stitch. And there was Edie, in her second-hand coat that no longer met her wrists, and her knobbly knees sticking out from the skirt that she was growing out of. The headmaster turned out to be one of those men who disapproved of women working, Ruby could tell. Throughout the interview, she'd kept her gloves on so he wouldn't glance at her ringless hand. Paperwork had been signed. Edie answered the headmaster's questions politely and nodded seriously as the rules were read out and the school motto, "Live truly," had been explained. Live truly. All right for some. Ruby wished she had a hat. Hearing she worked at Salon Vardo, he had scowled at her hatless head. Not properly attired and with boyishly short hair, she was liable to be labelled an unconventional parent. Poor Edie. Every twitch of the man's nose showed Ruby was frowned upon. In some distant future, she might laugh about it. One day, when living truly was a possibility. There wasn't money for a hat. Even one of Madam's models from last season would be expensive, and she'd rather not ask any favours. Still, she'd like to wear one, for Edie's sake. She'd like to design her own hat one day, if she could ever find the time.
Well, I'm sure Edith will do well at Central Normal School, said the headmaster, patting Edie on the shoulder.
He frowned as Ruby kissed the top of the girl's head.
Bye, Mum,
Edie said stoically.
Good for you, said Madam, when she heard Ruby's news. It is a good place. I think so. Yes, said Ruby. We're boarding with the owner of the house. Madam gave a curt nod.
Amen.
Mr. Pierce. He's an invalid from the war.
I see.
A friend has asked me to help him with housework, cooking and so on.
Hmm.
It's simple housekeeping, really, Ruby said. Her face seared under Madam's scrutiny. Mr. Pierce understands that I go out to work, she added, and that suits him. He needs quiet, and he likes to be left to himself. Madam raised one eyebrow. Edie's happy, Ruby said. We'll have half a house to ourselves, and there's a backyard.
Good, said Madam. You will give me your new address. For the paperwork.
A smile broke on Ruby's face before she could hold it back. She was going to have an address. A respectable address. How could she explain how wonderful that was? How do you know this lady will be home? Janice said, accelerating Muriel.
We'll find out, said Ruby.
She might have gone to the pictures, offered Edie.
She's the cat's mother, said Janice, which made Ruby laugh. It's Tuesday, so she might have gone to one of those meetings ladies go to, said Janice.
She'll be in. She's likely to be cooking her tea at this hour, said Ruby.
I just hope Frank or Douglas don't get to find out about it, that's all. She lifted a cautionary finger to Edie.
I know, Edie said.
I can't see why you're bothering, Janice said.
I just feel I should.
After all, I'm practically usurping her.
If it's what this chap Frank wants, that's what counts. There's more to it than that.
You're not telling, are you? Janice gave a slanted smile.
No, I'm not. Watch the road.
If I've ever got a secret, said Janice. I'll leave it with you.
I don't want to put the lady's nose too much out of joint, mused Ruby.
And I don't want her to think I'm moving in with a plan to seduce Frank into living in sin, or taking advantage. I feel as though that's what I might be doing.
What rot, said Janice. The way you explained it to me, it looked like a straight deal.
Straight deal. What kind of films had Janice been going to?
What's seduce? Edie said.
Big ears, Janice said with a chuckle. None of your business, Ruby told her. Don't listen to grown-ups' conversations.
We're in a car. I can't help it, Edie complained. You shouldn't talk if you don't want me to hear.
She's got a point, said Janice. Ruby rested her elbow on the sill and leant her cheek on her fist. Was she doing the right thing? Was she taking advantage of Douglas? She had jumped in, boots and all, without looking ahead.
Nearly there, said Janice. Having second thoughts.
Yes, Ruby lowered her voice. What if I make things worse? Vi might interfere even more if she thinks Frank needs saving.
Oh, you are coming up with a load of twaddle, said Janice. You've got a second job housekeeping, so you and Edie can live somewhere decent. It's as simple as that.
There was something about Janice that made Ruby wish she could unlock herself. She looked across at Janice. For an instant, a magnetic wave of warmth seemed to hover between them. She should tell Janice to keep driving. Past Vi's and Frank's. Away from Douglas and Madam and Vardo and Palmerston North. Past everything.
You know what Madam would say?
Janice's voice brought Ruby back to her senses.
She'd come right out and say to this lady, Right, I'm here now. Your business, this is not. So shove off. She'd say something like that.
Probably. Thanks for not trying the accent.
Madam wouldn't say shove off, Edie said.
Ruby laughed with Janice. Still, Vi had to be handled carefully. It was hard to think how to get the point across and still leave the woman with a good impression. It wouldn't be wise to make an enemy of her for all their sakes. Vi's place was bordered with hydrangeas, already tidily cut back for winter. On each side of the trimmed path were broad-leafed, grassy plants, most likely freesias. Ruby clicked the gate shut behind them and took Edie's hand.
"Why aren't we going around the back?" said Edie. "The rain's stopped."
"It's not polite when we haven't been here before." Edie bent over to stare at her reflection in the polished brass doorstep.
"Look, Mum."
Ruby pulled her up by her coat collar. Ignoring the knocker on the doorpost, Ruby rapped on the glass with her knuckles and pulled Edie away from peering through the beveled panes. "For heaven's sake," she whispered. "People don't want to see a child peering through the glass like a monkey." Janice had shifted out of her seat and was brazenly peering through the passenger window.
"We should go around the back," said Edie.
"Shush." Deep inside the house, a handle rattled, a door creaked, and a figure waddled up the passage. The woman opened the door a little, her face in shadow.
"Yes?"
You've been listening to A Respectable Veneer, a serialized novel by Rachel Doré, read by Romy Hooper. Listen to the next episode at 8 p.m. next Monday, or for the rest of the series, go to npr.nz/show/respectableveneer, or search for A Respectable Veneer wherever you find your podcasts.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.